The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So tonight we're continuing our series on mindfulness of the body. And tonight I'd like to talk about how we can use paying attention to the body, use mindfulness of the body in observing our emotions and our mental experience. In the Buddha's instructions on mindfulness meditation, he broke the instructions he gave into four basic parts. And the first part, he talked about how to pay attention to the body, mindfulness of the body. And that's primarily what I've been talking about in this last month. And then the second part he talked about was paying attention to feeling, whether things are pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. The third part was paying attention to things in the mind, whether you're experiencing greed or aversion or delusion, whether the mind is concentrated or not concentrated. The fourth aspect is paying attention to essentially how things relate to each other, how experience relates to each other, both physical and mental experience. The usual translation for this teaching is called the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. But there's another translation that I like that one translator uses, Tanisaro Bhikkhu, calls them the Four Frames of Reference. And I like this translation because it points to the fact that we can observe our experience through these four doorways or these four frames of reference. Essentially, we can observe our experience through the framework of the body, through the framework of our feeling, whether things are pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral about our experience, through the framework of how our mind is relating to the experience, or through the framework of how things are interconnected. So pretty much any experience we have can be seen through one of these four doorways. So we can see our emotional experience through the doorway of the body. We can see how our thoughts impact our body, how our moods and emotions impact our body, and pay attention to our experience in the present moment through that doorway. So tonight I'll talk about using this frame of reference of the mindfulness of the body to pay attention to emotions. And if I have time, I'll talk a little bit about working with thoughts as well. So why would we pay attention to emotions through the body? It's helpful in answering that question to look at what an emotion is. And from the standpoint of experience, there are three basic aspects to the emotions, to emotions. There's the actual emotion itself, the feeling in the mind of fear or anger or excitement or hostility, whatever the emotion is. There's a kind of a sense that we know that emotion. So that there's that mood or tone in the mind itself around the emotion. And this can be either obvious or subtle. And this is kind of, it's just kind of like how we know, in some, to some extent, how we know we're experiencing a particular emotion. There's a way that we feel. So there's that aspect of emotional experience. Then there is usually some thinking going on when there's an emotion, some kind of narrative around what's happening. And then there are physical sensations in the body. So those three parts come together to make the experience of the emotion. Now we can attend, through mindfulness, we can attend to any aspect, any one of those three aspects. But the mood or feeling in the mind can be kind of subtle, and in trying to pay attention to that, we can often get caught back into the thinking about the emotion. And often when we get caught into the thinking, the narrative, the story around the emotion, we lose track of the present moment. We get caught into the content, into what's our story, our process around the emotion. What he said, what she did, how I'm going to fix this, what they did wrong, what I did right, all of those thoughts. And we get caught in that content. So it is possible to pay attention to thoughts in and of themselves, and hopefully I'll have some time later to talk about paying attention to thoughts through the framework of the body. But they're one of the more difficult things to bring our mindfulness to. So it's very helpful in paying attention to both emotions and thoughts to turn the attention into the bodily experience. The bodily experience is in the present moment. If you're noticing what's happening in your body, you are aware of what's going on in the present moment around the emotion. So this is one of the key reasons why the framework of the body is so supportive in paying attention to emotions. If we try to pay attention to either the mood or the thoughts, often we'll get caught back into those thoughts. The narrative or the thoughts around the emotion are almost always to do with the past or the future. So if we can come into the body, which is in the present moment, we've arrived and brought the mind and body together in the present moment. So paying attention in the body. Emotions, as I said, have this physical component. Particularly strong emotions, particularly the kind of emotions that we struggle with the most. What I might call the afflictive emotions. Anger, hostility, lust, aversion, greed. There's usually some kind of feeling in the body that goes along with it. And the emotions themselves exert a pull on our attention. It's like they're saying, pay attention to me, these emotions, particularly these afflictive emotions. But the way that we have learned in our conditioning, in our cultural training, to pay attention to emotions is usually by paying attention to the thoughts around them. And we go over the thoughts over and over again, and we think that's somehow paying attention to the emotion. The thoughts tend to hook us to the emotion, and they tend to actually create a kind of cycle that reinforces the emotion so that it kind of sets the wheel of the emotion spinning and then keeps spinning it. So turning our attention inward to what we're actually experiencing instead of on the thoughts can help to cut that spinning cycle that our mind does around the emotions. Typically, the thoughts around the emotions relate to the world out there. Usually when we're having some kind of an emotion, there's some kind of relationship with the world we're experiencing. And the thoughts around the emotion are often directed outward. For example, if there's a feeling of wanting something, if there's a feeling of needing some kind of thing in order to be happy, the attention is often directed to the thing we think we need. How can we get that thing? How can we convince somebody else to give it to us? How can we maneuver the environment to get that thing? And what this exploration of mindfulness is around the emotion, and particularly around paying attention in the body, is to turn our attention away from that outward-directed focus generated through the thoughts inward to what the actual experience of the emotion is. What does it feel like to be wanting? What does it feel like to be angry? This movement allows us to disengage from that kind of spinning the wheel of the emotion. Now, disengaging from that spinning doesn't mean that that wheel's going to stop spinning immediately. Mindfulness, I like to use this analogy, that mindfulness kind of functions like, you know, your mind and your body are like traveling up 65 miles an hour down the freeway. And mindfulness functions like putting the car into neutral. You disengage the gears so you're no longer spinning that forward. You do that with the car, and the car doesn't stop immediately. It will eventually come to a stop because the momentum of the car will just kind of naturally wear out if we're not continuing to engage the gears. And it's like that with mindfulness of emotions as well. That if we can disengage from the spinning that we do around it, engaging with the story and keeping the gears in motion around the story, around the emotion, if we can disengage those gears and simply observe what's happening in the present moment, the emotion has a chance to live its life, and it will come to a stop of its own accord. Its momentum will run out. Emotions kind of feel like a wave often. There's a kind of a crescendo, a feeling of them building, and then they kind of wash and move out. And they have a chance to live that life in a natural way if we disengage from the thinking and turn our attention to the body. So take an interest in exploring your emotions through the body. The interest itself, just having that inclination to explore the emotion through the body, that movement itself creates a little space around the emotion. Simply being interested in observing it is a little like disengaging the gears. So it's an interesting question to ask yourself in exploring emotions through the body is, how do you know you're feeling a particular emotion? What tells you that you're feeling anger or excitement? Part of the way we know what our emotions are is because of the physical experience in the body. It may not be a conscious thing all the time, but there's the parasympathetic nervous system in this part of the body is designed to really produce a lot of sensations for emotional experience. So there's a lot of sensation that goes on, particularly between here and here, between the neck and the hips in the torso, when there's an emotion happening. There are many, many different kinds of experiences or physical sensations that might connect with an emotion. Last week, I talked about learning or beginning to get familiar with the language of physical experience, the language of the elemental experience of the body, the experiences of pressure, tension, tightness, lightness, heat, vibration, contraction, heaviness, pulsing, throbbing, moving, all of those physical elemental experiences contribute to our understanding of what an emotion feels like in the body. So, for example, the rising of anger in our experience might feel like a rising feeling of warmth and pressure, or heat and pressure. Or judgment might feel like a feeling of contraction or tightening in the body. Fear might feel like fluttering in the abdomen. Wanting might feel like pulling in the body, a kind of a sense of almost like there's a magnet between us and the thing we want, just this feeling of being pulled towards the thing we want. So exploring what do you actually feel in the body. It can be helpful if you're new at this, when you're experiencing an emotion, to actually kind of do a scan through the body. Check out the different areas of the body, particularly in your head, face, and torso. Your face can also be a place where emotions are held. There may be a clenching of the teeth, or a tightening of the mouth, or a tightening around the forehead. So you can do a scan of the body and just check out, when you're experiencing an emotion, what are you feeling? What is the experience in the body that is associated with this emotion? So the sensations in the body are disassociated from the thoughts or the story, and they are present moment experience. So bringing your attention, I'm going to keep saying this because it's so important, bringing your attention to the bodily sensations of the emotions brings you into the present moment around the emotion. But one thing that's very helpful, and I haven't particularly talked about noting too much in this class, but I know that it has been talked about in this Thursday night class a little bit. And the use of noting is a way, it's using a label to kind of name what your experience is, what you're paying attention to. And using that simple little thought in the mind is a way to kind of keep the mind connected with what's happening in the present moment. It's kind of like using a thought to engage that thinking part of the mind so that it doesn't go off and wander off into other thoughts. So it can be a really helpful tool. And, you know, sometimes we talk about using this naming to recognize what the emotion is that we're experiencing. And this tool of recognition is really helpful around emotions, to just kind of name what the emotion is that you're experiencing. And this will probably just come to you. It may just come to you. It may be just this, like, you know that you're feeling fear, or you know that you're feeling anger, or you know that you're feeling excitement. You can use that noting to help you stay attentive to the emotion. But if you turn your attention to the body and start paying attention to the physical sensations, it's most helpful to let go of using that mental label of the emotion itself, of fear, of anger, of excitement, in favor of the actual physical sensation that you're experiencing, tightness or quivering or pressure or heat or vibration or tension. This does a couple of things. It helps to clarify in the mind, in the mindfulness, what you're actually paying attention to, so that you know that you're paying attention to the physical sensations at that point. The physical sensations are related to the emotion, but they're not the emotion itself. So we are attending to an aspect of the emotion, how the emotion impacts the body, and we're not exactly attending to the emotion itself, which is a mental experience. So if you use the noting to connect with the actual physical experience. This has been a really important lesson for me. On one meditation retreat, I was waiting for an interview. And this was a long retreat. It was about a 3-month retreat. And we had interviews about every 2 to 3 days. And pretty much we were silent in between. So whenever I was going to an interview, there was usually some anxiety that came up. Anxiety about talking to the teacher, anxiety about what I was going to say, anxiety about, you know, am I going to look good? All of these kinds of things that go on in your mind when you're not speaking for a while. So I was sitting outside the door one day, waiting for my interview, and the person before me, who had the interview before me, was taking a longer interview. And I was feeling the anxiety, and this didn't particularly surprise me, so I was, you know, kind of just recognizing, noting, using this noting to notice anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. But it went on for a long time. The interview before me went on for a long time. And I noticed that the anxiety that I was experiencing, or the experience that I was experiencing, which I was calling anxiety, was also going on for a long time. It wasn't particularly changing. And that surprised me, because normally when I'm mindful of something, there is that kind of disengagement and the emotion itself kind of moves on. So I began paying a little bit closer attention to the physical sensations and began noting, really noting, rather than anxiety, I began noting the physical sensations, which was that my whole body was quivering. There was a quivering going on in the body. As I put my attention in the quivering, it hit me like, it just like became very clear that what I was experiencing was not anxiety, but a kind of meditative rapture, which comes when the mind gets more settled and concentrated. And that rapture can manifest itself with kind of experience of just like a little shaking in the body like that. I had misinterpreted that emotion because of the context of the experience I was in. You know, it was like I was in a situation that was typically creating anxiety. I felt this quivering, and the mind just declared it anxiety. But turning the attention to the body, what is the actual bodily experience, that freed the mind from its concepts around the emotion, which was constructed from thoughts about, well, here I am waiting for my interview and I'm experiencing this quivering in my body, must be anxiety. So to disengage from those thoughts, it became clear this was not anxiety, it was rapture. So this movement to turn the attention to the body can sometimes yield some surprises. Sometimes emotions can feel kind of similar. Certain emotions can have similar feelings. And if we're assuming something based on a situation or something based on habitual tendencies, we may almost construct an emotion out of just the experience and our the physical feeling and our thoughts around it. I think this is something that we actually do more often than we realize. We have some familiar emotions. You know, we all have particular favorite emotions, whether that's worry, anxiety, fear, aversion, wanting. We all have some kind of favorite ones that we're familiar with and that have kind of worn these grooves in our minds. And it's like, you know, sometimes those patterns kind of just kick in and create a little bit of that physical experience in our body. And then what I've noticed happening in my own experience is that the mind will start scanning the environment to look for verification of why I'm feeling this. And it'll find something to be worried about. It'll find something to be anxious about. Because that feeling is there. So again, if we can just connect with the physical experience and let go of the thoughts, it can be very supportive towards the release of these afflictive emotions. Emotions are often born out of some kind of reactivity. For example, there can be physical, if there's a physical pain in your body, there may be reactivity to that that creates emotions. So, for example, if you cut yourself with a knife, you know, there's the physical pain of the cutting, but then there's often some reactivity around that, you know. Oh, I've done it again. I've cut myself with a knife and looks like it's bad enough that I'm going to actually have to go to the hospital to get stitches. And how could I have been so stupid? I don't have time to go to the hospital to get stitches. And we get angry at ourselves. And then we maybe get frustrated with ourselves for getting angry at ourselves. So there's reactivity that's born from our experience that can lead to emotions. Or we react to emotions themselves. We resist them or get frustrated with them. So, for instance, judgment. Often people, particularly in Buddhist circles, feel like judgment is something we're not supposed to be doing. You know, we notice that we're judging other people and, you know, as a good person who pays attention to what they're doing, we're not supposed to be doing that. We're not supposed to be judging. So we judge ourselves, or we inflict ourselves with self-negativity because of that judgment. So there's a reaction or a layering on top of the initial judgment. Or perhaps there's loneliness or sadness. And there's a feeling of resistance to that loneliness or sadness. So that there's an extra reaction on top of the sadness. So attending to the body can help to break the cycle of reactivity, because most of those reactions, all of those reactions, occur in the mind. They are a mental process that goes on. And again, turning the attention to the physical experience takes the momentum out of those mental processes. But of course, we are going to react to our experience. So it's not so helpful to take this as another should. I shouldn't be reacting to my experience. And when we notice we're reacting to our experience, then judge ourselves and beat ourselves up for reacting to our experience. The instructions in the mindfulness are just to notice what's happening now. And if you're reacting, that's what you pay attention to. So noticing that reactivity, perhaps resistance to an emotion. What does that resistance feel like in the body? Perhaps there's a feeling of sadness, of loss. If you've had a loss in your life, there's a feeling of sadness around it. And perhaps there is a little bit of resistance to that feeling of sadness. What is that? How does that resistance feel? And how is it different from the feeling of sadness? Can you kind of recognize what the resistance part is in the body? and what the sadness part is. I found when I can be with the resistance and the resistance lets go, then there can be a kind of a purity to the feeling underneath of sadness or loneliness. If there's no resistance to the emotions, often there's just a feeling of, oh yeah, this is the way it is. It's like this. So can you notice the difference between when there's an added layer of reaction to the emotion? And what does it feel like if that added layer of reaction drops away? Often there's a feeling of more of a flow in the body. And I think the resistance kind of feels like things get, the emotion gets gummed up and doesn't move. Emotions want to move through the body. And if we're resisting them, it's like we're clamping down, almost physically, tightening down. And that tightening down, when it's let go, allows the emotion to move more freely. There's a tool that I like to suggest for people when they're working with strong emotions. And it involves kind of moving between the body experience, between recognizing what's happening in the body around the emotion, and then checking back into what the recognizing the actual emotion. So if you're paying attention, for instance, to something like anxiety, feeling that anxiety. So you know that there's that anxiety there. And then coming into the body and feeling it, feeling the tension or tightness in the torso, the fluttering in the abdomen. And then after a while, say a few minutes of paying attention to the body, check back in to what the emotion is. Because sometimes as you pay attention in the body, the emotion shifts underneath. So then check back in and say, what's going on now? What mood am I feeling now? Maybe it's sadness. And then come back to the body. What does sadness feel like in the body? Pay attention to that for a while. And then check back in to what the mood is now. Has it shifted or has it changed? Maybe it's now feeling of vulnerability. Going back to the body. So this back and forth between recognizing what the emotion is and feeling it in the body can really help us uncover some layers to our emotions. So thought also we can pay attention to through this framework of the body. And I'll just talk about this for a few minutes and then see if there's any discussion or any questions that have come up around this subject for you. So in our meditation, often thoughts come simply as a little like a drifting off of our experience. It's like we're paying attention to our breathing, our body, and then we just notice we've kind of drifted off into what we're going to do when we go home, or what we were doing yesterday, or that thing we have to do at work. You know, we've kind of just drifted off. It's not particularly necessarily that there's much charge to the thought. It's just that we've lost track of what we were intending to do. In that situation, there's not particularly much need to attend to those thoughts. You can see if you can just let them go. And come back to the present moment through the body awareness, whether that's breathing or hearing or just the sensations in the body. Clearly just recognizing that the thoughts are happening and letting them go. At other times, the thoughts are not quite so gentle. They're a little more compelling. The content of the thought has caught us, and we're actively engaged in the thinking about that thing we need to do tomorrow. You know, there's a momentum to the thoughts that it's kind of got its gears going. And we find ourselves lost in the thought. When that happens, if we try to let go a couple of times and we find the same pattern of thinking coming back, then it's probably time to start paying attention to the thought, to what's going on around the thought. Now, it's not so helpful in meditation to pay attention to the content of the thought. It's possible to pay attention to the content of the thought, but it's in the sitting practice, it's usually best to see if you can let the content go in favor of noticing how the thought is manifesting in our bodies and our minds, whether it appears as an image. We may notice it like it's a seeing. We're seeing an image. It may be experienced almost as we're talking to ourselves, so we're hearing ourselves talk. These are kind of ways to explore thinking through bodily doors, even though it's not the actual physical bodily door. It's like the interior mental aspect of that door. You know, our eyes are closed, so we're not really seeing the thought, but there's kind of an image in our minds, or we are hearing the thought as if we're speaking to ourselves. So noticing that aspect of it, how is it appearing? Is it appearing as an image? Is it appearing as a something that we're hearing? When thoughts are really strong, when they're kind of obsessive, often there is some kind of physical experience that is associated with obsessive thinking. There might be, I know when my mind gets really going, sometimes it's like, you know, there's bees buzzing in my head, or like there's this ping pong ball bouncing around in my head. Just this kind of physical feeling of energy trapped in the head. Or there might be, again, tension around the face or in the jaw. You might find your jaw clenched. Or you might discover also experience in the torso. Because often when there is a strong obsessive thought pattern, there is an emotion underneath it that's fueling it. So if you can, if you've got a strong pattern of thinking going on, of perhaps if you notice a lot of planning, for instance, as an example, you notice that you're planning constantly, you know, you've been meditating now for a few years and you recognize planning is one of your top three thoughts. You know, you find yourself often in that mode of planning. Is there some kind of an emotion that is underneath that pattern of thinking? Perhaps worry is the emotion that fuels that. So recognizing an emotion that fuels the thought, then you can bring your attention to the bodily experience of that emotion. Again, bringing yourself away from the spinning of the thoughts into the present moment experience. What's happening in the present moment? So let's see if I'd like to see if there's any questions or comments, thoughts about any of this. And for those of you who are new, when we do this, so that the questions are also recorded for the internet. All of our talks are recorded for the internet so that the questions are also recorded for people to hear. We pass the mic from hand to hand.
I'd like to go back to something you were talking about fairly early on tonight. When you're talking about how thoughts can sort of fuel the emotion and keep them going, right? So then by using mindfulness of the body, you put the car in neutral. Is that the only way that the feelings and the physical sensations continue to sustain themselves, or Do they sustain themselves of their own accord as well?
I think the thoughts are probably the main way that they sustain themselves. But if you are not mindful of the experience, I think then the habit of the emotion can sustain itself. Kind of like I was saying that we have kind of familiar patterns of emotions. So I particularly had a very strong pattern of self-hatred, a lot of self-negativity. And it's like if I got anywhere near that pattern, it's like this ball would drop into this rut, a very deep rut in my mind. It was very hard to get out of. So in that situation, the emotion itself felt like it was self-sustaining, even though there weren't particularly a lot of thoughts around it. The mindfulness of the experience in those situations, the mindfulness of that experience helps to disengage. I mean, it's like... partly it's because we are noticing the impact of that experience on our system. And the mind, when it notices that it's suffering because of something that it's doing, you know, it's actually creating this experience, it will eventually let go of it. Now, with something like those deep ruts of patterns, those can take a long time for the mindfulness to kind of wear away at. I'll give another example around anger that I had in my own experience. Anger was another rut in my mind. And in particular, I had this one person I was really, really angry with. And I noticed at some point that trying to directly pay attention to that emotion kind of sucked me in to the emotion because it was such a deep rut. So the mindfulness wasn't really strong enough to meet the emotion, even if I tried paying attention to the body, you know, paying attention to the bodily experience of the emotion, also just kind of sucked me back in to the emotion. So I lost mindfulness around it. Now, if you don't lose mindfulness around the emotion, that is probably the best way to work with it. But if you find yourself not able to stay mindful around an emotion, then what I did in that case was to kind of recognize it. It's almost like I bowed to it and said, yes, I see you. I see that you want some attention, but my mindfulness isn't strong enough to pay attention to you, so I'm going to turn my attention to something else in my experience. And so I did that over and over, over the course of months. I don't know how long I did this. It could have even been a couple of years that I did practice with this particular anger, this deep, deep rut in my mind in this way. And over the course of that time, of the years of looking at the anger, just kind of recognizing it and saying, this is not the time to pay attention to it, I began noticing that the bouts of anger, or the times that I'd get caught in anger, became less and less frequent. It's like there were longer gaps between the times that I experienced that anger. And one day, I even recognized, wow, it's been a long time since I felt that anger. And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it in my experience anymore, even though the person that I had been angry with was now in my mind, because I had thought, oh, you know, I haven't experienced this anger at this person. And even though that person was in my mind, I couldn't even generate the anger. And that had happened just through kind of touching into the anger, recognizing it, and putting it aside over the course of months and years. So, you know, there's different ways when we're really, really caught by an emotion. And that's one way that I often suggest when somebody gets really pulled into an emotion like that, to work with it by putting it aside, but not with any kind of aversion. If you put it aside with aversion, it kind of under the covers will reinforce that pattern. It's like, you know, you're trying to suppress it. As opposed to just, it's more like what I did in that situation was let the anger be there, but I didn't pay attention to it. You know, I paid attention to something else. I also didn't just let the mind do its habitual pattern around the anger, which would typically then be to get lost in the thoughts again.
What are you paying attention to? Like, are you going back to concentrating on the breath or something like that?
Well, you can choose many things. And I found personally, for something like a strong emotion, coming to the breath was not so helpful, because often the breath in this area is involved in the emotion. So paying attention to the breath just would like catch me up back into it. So I learned to turn my attention to something outside of this area, something physical still. I brought my attention. It seemed like in my case, I was often walking when I would get into this anger. You know, the walking would just get me set into this thinking, and then I'd end up thinking about this person, and then I'd work myself into anger about him. So I would turn my attention, when I recognized the anger, I'd put my attention on my feet and just pay attention to my feet. So there's a number of different things you can use. Feet are a good one. If you're sitting, paying attention to physical contact of your body against the chair. Or hearing is also another really good one, because that takes you out of the physical experience of the body altogether, which often will, when it's a strong emotion, will just pull you right back into the emotion. Hearing is good. Some physical neutral sensation that's outside of this area. Hands often are pretty strong sensations. They're good ones to cultivate also. So thank you for that question. That opened up a whole new area.
I guess I have a slight follow-up.
Okay.
Somebody else didn't have something. I think the other thing that you said earlier there was the something that struck a chord for me was that you feel the emotion, and then your mind latches onto it and labels it, and you start looking around for something to justify it. And so I was thinking, is there a way of using the mindfulness to stop that next step?
If you simply recognize the feelings and are mindful of the feelings, you'll probably notice any tendency to start doing that scanning of the environment. So if you can catch it at the bare level of just what the feeling is, you may recognize that tendency to go scanning the environment. And this is how I discovered this. I mean, it's like, oh, look at this. You know, the mind's looking out there for something to blame this feeling on. And just watching that pattern, not necessarily trying to stop it, but observing it will, again, that observing piece itself is a way of disengaging from it. It's like, you know, every experience has both the awareness of it and the thing itself. And when we are aware of our experience, we kind of land more in recognizing what's going on. It's like it somehow adds some lubrication and some space around the actual experience. So that if we can recognize that our mind is kind of out there searching, we're less likely to believe it. If it tries to land on something and say, oh yes, that's what it is. That's what it is that I'm worried about. So, you know, having the capacity to witness it is a huge way to eventually let that pattern go. Yeah. And there is somebody in the back.
I just wanted to say that my mother has a word for that. That helps. She calls it awfulizing.
Awfulizing?
When you feel bad about something, and then you start looking for all of the reasons that you should feel bad.
Is that AWFUL, awfulizing? I like that. Over here.
So I'm wondering about the emotion. Is it something that can just, this phenomena could just come up? Or does something, a thought or something else trigger it?
So you're wondering where the emotion actually comes from? Does it just come up, or is a thought triggering it?
Right, like the chicken or the egg, or could it be either?
It can be either. And again, observing in your own experience is the way to understand how your emotions are created. You know, they often come from thoughts, I find. But then emotions themselves produce thoughts, which then feeds back into emotions. You know, if you look back in the chain of reactivity, you'll probably find kind of a layer of thought and thought and emotion kind of fueling each other like that. So that they definitely, you know, they feed off of each other. Emotion produces thought, thought produces emotion. And I think also emotion itself might be able to produce emotion, but I think there's usually some kind of view or some kind of belief in there in between one emotion and another as they transfer from one emotion to another. So it's a very interesting place to explore how the emotions kind of link off of each other. And the technique that I talked about of kind of going between the emotion in, you know, what you're experiencing in the mental world, you know, the name of the emotion, knowing what emotion it is, and the physical experience in the body, kind of going back and forth between those two, can give you a sense of how they're layered. It's not usually so helpful to, when you wake up in the midst of an emotion and pattern, to try to figure out or think back on what was I thinking before this, or what was the emotion before this. That's a thinking and conceptualizing process. And so it's usually most helpful to just notice what you're actually experiencing here and now. And, you know, as you pay attention to the body, as you recognize the emotions, it may kind of unlayer itself in the present moment, so that you're not kind of conceptualizing back and thinking, oh, well, this was the thought I was having, and, well, that was probably anxiety, and then, well, this was the thought that I was having, well, that was probably sadness, or, you know, oh, and then, oh, well, you know, so that gets a little too busy. Does it need a new battery? I'll just repeat the question. Go ahead.
It seems like a lot of the examples you use, it's very tempting to label those as negative or unpleasant emotions. So I guess one question is, I'm wondering, how would you apply this idea of being mindful of emotions and letting them pass through the body? How would you apply it to being aware?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I guess the related question is, maybe I sort of have this that, how do you stay when an emotion is really difficult and you sort of make the decision, say, to pay attention to something else, how do you not slip into sort of aversion or wanting to push something away? How do you stay in the mind?
Okay, so two questions. I will repeat them. One is, most of what I talked about tonight were what would be called difficult emotions, or I was calling them afflictive emotions. And how can we use our mindfulness to pay attention to more wholesome or positive emotions such as joy or compassion? And the second question is, in that when something is very difficult, how to let go of it without that aversion. So does that summarize? So the first part, yes, I think I actually had it in my notes about these positive emotions, but I forgot to bring that up. Yes, in fact, that's a very important place to pay attention, because as we meditate, as we become more concentrated and more settled in our experience, we do start to experience beautiful emotions like joy or rapture, like I was talking about earlier, or compassion or kindness. These feelings will come up for us. And so learning to pay attention to emotions in our meditation is not simply paying attention to the afflictive emotions. It's recognizing all of the emotions that come up. And often when the wholesome or positive emotions come up, we don't actually think of being mindful for them. It's just like, oh, well, this is meditation. That's what's supposed to be happening. And we can get lost in them. So if you actually recognize that these beautiful emotions are happening, pay attention to them in the same way. Notice what's going on in the body. Notice how it feels. Joy can be a very delightful experience, like a lightness and like light bubbling through the body. Compassion can feel more like a quivering in the heart, you know, a feeling of wanting to act to alleviate suffering. You know, there can be this kind of physical feeling of movement to alleviate suffering. So there are also physical experiences in the body around these beautiful emotions, and it is very helpful to begin to learn to pay attention to those as well, because it's a very easy place for us to get stuck in our meditation. We can get caught and attached to those emotions. And it's a huge source of suffering in our meditation. You know, if we get into a space of beautiful calm and happiness and tranquility and rapture, and then the next meditation we don't get that, we suffer because we think that's what it was supposed to be happening, and there was a little bit of attachment to it. One of my teachers, Steve Armstrong, says there's nothing like a good sitting to ruin your day. And that's very much true on retreat. You know, we can have a beautiful sitting like that, and then we suffer so much for the rest of the day because we want that experience back. And we didn't notice that there was a subtle attachment in the actual experience, and we're not particularly noticing the wanting now. So all emotions, it's helpful to pay attention to all emotions. And I'll just try to do the second question very quickly because it's 9 o'clock. And the way for me that I found helpful if I have a very strong emotion that I want to put aside is kind of like what I did in that situation was to, like, I spoke to my anger and I said, yes, I see you and I see that you need to be paid attention to. It's worth paying attention to you, but my mindfulness isn't strong enough to do it right now, so I'll pay attention to you when my mindfulness gets stronger. So that it was like acknowledging, really acknowledging with some kind of compassion that feeling, and also acknowledging that the mind wasn't quite strong enough or ready to meet it. So that, for me, allowed me to kind of set it aside, kind of having that. It's almost like using, after a while, I could just use a shorthand of not now. It's not now, in a very gentle way. So it's 9:01. We need to stop. So I've enjoyed this 4-week series with you, exploring how to work with the body. And I'll see you in a few weeks when I come back from teaching my retreat. Thank you all.